Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise as we celebrate this beautiful Pentecost Sunday, where we remember that you fulfilled your promise and sent us the Advocate to be with us, that we would never be abandoned or left alone, but that the Holy Spirit would guide us and lead us into all truth and empower us through the gifts given to us to fulfill the mission of the church. So we just ask that you open our hearts evermore to this gift and pour out a new outpouring of your Holy Spirit to strengthen us for the challenges we face personally in our lives, our families, our workplaces, our country and world, that we can be a witness to the power of your love and mercy in our world. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. So just want to reflect a little bit about the importance of this day. Obviously, you'll hear in the preface that it's the birthday of the church, that when the Holy Spirit came upon them, the mission really began, and they broke open the doors and went out in extraordinary boldness and were equipped with gifts and charisms, the second reading, to fulfill the work of the church. And they did a pretty amazing job. We've been reading all throughout the Easter season about the Acts of the Apostles and how they operated under the dynamism of that anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I was thinking about my own experience. You know, I didn't hear a lot about the Holy Spirit growing up, unfortunately. Got confirmed my junior year, but it was when I went to college that I began to receive some really good teachings and began to have some experiences of the Holy Spirit. I think the way we do catechesis sometimes needs to change. You know, we spend all day in a classroom, and then we would go at night to CCD and sit in chairs in the classroom and be lectured to, as if the faith was just kind of an intellectual thing, like I'm here to convey some information to you to put in your brain, and hopefully you'll believe it. There were very few prayer experiences or just sitting in the chapel learning how to pray. So it was kind of seen as more of just, we're just transferring information to us. And then I got into college and began to realize that this is something you experience. You know, the disciples had the tongues of fire. They began proclaiming, speaking in tongues, and all kinds of extraordinary things were happening. And I remember thinking, how come that's not happening now? Was that just something they needed back then? Obviously not. We need the Holy Spirit in every age to help us and equip us for the work of ministry. So just a few things about that experience. The one thing I began to realize is that the most important thing are relationships, our relationship with God and with one another. And when I was in high school, I got into apologetics where, you know, you argue and debate with people to defend your faith because a lot of people were kind of putting me on the defensive. And you Catholics worship Mary, you don't believe in the Bible, yada, yada. It's the typical things that people often misunderstand about the Catholic faith. And so I began to kind of get in that mindset of, well, I'm here to argue and I'm right and you're wrong. It's not really evangelization. Apologetics is part of the process, but it's not the gospel message. And when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit my first year in college, I just began to realize that it's about loving God and loving people, and everything has to be framed in that way that we believe as Catholics. And sometimes we lose sight of that, and we do things that kind of put people off and don't make them feel very welcome in the church, or they don't understand that it's about loving God and loving people. This was reinforced last week. My sister-in-law and my niece and nephew were visiting. My brother stayed behind for a certain reason. And we went out to eat Saturday night after Mass, and then they wanted to rent a movie. I have Apple TV, of course, so, okay, what do you guys want to watch? And they decided on The Whale. It was kind of a depressing story, but great acting. And Brendan Fraser actually won the Academy Award this year for Best Actor. Totally deserved it. He did an outstanding job acting in that. But there was a religious component very much woven into the movie. And a missionary comes to his house and tries to evangelize him and says, have you ever read the Bible? And he said, yeah, I've read it like two or three times from back to front. What did you think? He said, it was terrifying. You know, we get kicked out of paradise. They wander in the desert for 40 years and many of them die. And then God comes back and only 144,000 are saved and the rest get sent to hell. And the missionary kind of put his head down and looked up and said, well, that's not really my take on it. But then he didn't give any personal witness or anything about Jesus or God loves you or anything like that. And it just made me think about sometimes our techniques are pretty awkward and not so helpful for people. And so you always frame it and you have to listen to people, their life experiences, and show them that God is interested in their life and wants to walk with them and accompany them in this journey of life, the goods, the bad, the ups and downs we experience. And sometimes the way we do things, we don't really convey that to people. They just feel kind of judged or written off. Doesn't mean you have to compromise what you believe and just to get along with everybody. I think there's a lot of that going on in the church today too. But charity, you know, loving someone and trying to convey God's love to them. And in this particular case, in the movie, the guy was very broken and just had a lot of problems in his life. And that didn't necessarily come out in that scene, that God really cares about you and wants to walk and accompany you and heal you from all the trauma you've experienced in your life and everything. So I think the Holy Spirit helps us to focus most on relationships, the things that really matter, Philippians 1:10. I'm so fond of that passage. The second thing is you have a greater desire to share your faith with people and evangelize. And when you first start doing it, it's really awkward. I remember just feeling like a puppy dog, you know, big paws and jumping on people and not really knowing what I was doing. But the more you share your faith and you pray in the power of the Holy Spirit, the more insights you get to what will be helpful and not helpful for someone. And there's a whole thing about timing. Like when you're trying to share your faith, is this the best time for this person? Sometimes it's not. You're in a hurry. Hey, let's go out for coffee some other time and have a little more time just to sit down and communicate and, you know, interact with each other. But that's why he gave us this, the Holy Spirit's our interior teacher. So we pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I know on the fly, like I'd been accosted after Mass with somebody who didn't like something I said. Imagine that. You know. And so right after Mass, they're just waiting for you like a spider. And they want to attack you because you said something that rubbed them the wrong way. And I fell into that my first few years as a priest, and then I'd have to go to confession because me and my big mouth. And now I realize that I don't do that anymore. Would you like to make an appointment with me? I can see that I've aroused something in you. This is not the best time to give you a Jeopardy answer or to go into further detail. So now I don't do that. I don't have to go to confession the day after Sunday Mass. Well, sometimes I do, but not for that reason. So you pray in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will begin to guide you, give you scripture passages, meditations to share with people. I've been texting those Jesus Today, Jesus Lives, and I've just reached my maximum limit again. You've cut and pasted enough times. Please buy another copy of this. Dang. I wish there was some way around that, but there isn't. So the Holy Spirit will begin to show you how to share your faith. This is really important for parents. I know we live in a world that's not so faith-friendly anymore, and to try to pass your faith onto your kids, I've talked to parents who feel overwhelmed. They don't feel like they're adequately equipped. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you the wisdom and the words that you need to share your faith with your kids, to pray with them when they're upset about something, like they flunked a math test, like I always did. Pray with them and say, maybe God needs to help you with that, and you can try better next time, instead of they just get frustrated and don't want to do it, like me. Nobody ever prayed with me. You know, I did pray before my tests. Didn't work, but if you see my grades. But you have this gift inside of you, and all of you have been given charisms and gifts at second reading. And I love to help people discover what are the gifts that God has given you for the upbuilding of the body of Christ. And it's so important that you understand that God has given you things that you can share with others to build them up and to help them grow in their faith. The last thing, and I think this is really important for this day and age, is just discernment, knowing how to interact with our culture that's becoming increasingly hostile to us and trying to kind of just not have any room for faith. And sometimes we can react to that. I know some people, they move away and they just form their own little Catholic community and they just shut all the big bad world out. I'm not sure that's the right thing to do. That's not exactly what the apostles did, was it? They went out into the culture to proclaim the good news. They didn't hide in the cave until the storm passed by. But at the same time, some of those people have little kids and they feel it's better for them to raise them in this environment. So I'm not going to mess with their discernment. But I know that we have to be praying, am I motivated by fear or love? And sometimes when we're motivated by fear, we just kind of retreat and don't engage the culture because we're afraid we're going to lose our faith or we're not going to be able to have the right words. And I think that's the wrong place to be. And I have to say that in context of the Partners of the Gospel. You know, this program we have for the Archdiocese and closing our parishes, I think a lot of the focus needs to shift to opportunities for evangelization and new things and growth instead of, oh, we're shrinking, we're all fading away now, and we're going to close half of our parishes in the Archdiocese. There needs to be a different focus on this, is that, no, God is still giving us opportunities to evangelize, to share our faith with people. It's not just we're closing the shop and lights out. Or what was that billboard with Boeing? You turn off the lights, the last one out, when they had a crisis, and I guess in the 80s or 70s, it was a really hard time, and there used to be a billboard, you know, we'll turn the lights off for you. We don't want that kind of attitude. We want enthusiasm. We want to say that God is going to equip us to make wise decisions in the future. And I did find out what the configuration plan was for this parish. I can't tell you yet, but I was actually right, which is really unusual. I'm usually wrong about those things, but it was what I expected. Not too radical or dramatic, but it's going to call us to prayerfully discern as a community the future of our parish and working with several other parishes. But it was what I expected, but you'll find out in September. So don't let the suspense kill you, but be praying for discernment and wisdom as we move forward with this plan. But don't do it under a spirit of fear. And we're retreating. No, we're not retreating. We're getting pruned back so we can sprout more buds and branches. Amen? God is cutting away the dead wood. So relationships, evangelization, and discernment. And let's just end with a prayer and ask the Holy Spirit to bless us in a special way today. And remember, 2 o'clock, Pentecost celebration here in this church. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for fulfilling your promise and sending us the Holy Spirit and guiding us and leading us and giving us that joy that the world cannot give. We just need more of that in our lives today. We're so concerned and worried and anxious about so many things, and we just pray we never lose that joy. That's the surest sign that you're with us. Bless all of us here today, especially anybody who's struggling in their lives with a crisis or a difficult time, and open our hearts to truth of your love and mercy. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.